Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, what do you say we get after it? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio Studio. We got Bristol on the racetrack. We got a great guest lineup. We got beautiful weather outside, a little chilly, but that's the way spring is, and we got you tuned in to Racetime Radio.
The snow is not flying, so it's not that chilly.
No.
It's nice.
It is. It's actually a little bit fresh
outside, but, I mean, it would have been a perfect day to go racing.
Yeah, well, the cars would have ran great.
Cars would have ran fantastic. But, yeah, welcome to the show, and man, it's going to be a good one.
This is going to be a real good one. I got to thinking, I've been thinking all kind of day and probably for even longer than a day. But I kind of think this is going to be our last Racetime Radio until things actually fire up.
Yeah?
Yep. You know what? It's kind of tough. There's not a lot of content out there.
Yeah.
And I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to keep everybody up to date on everything. But it's pretty hard when there's nothing to update you on. We are a results-based program. And, we're not getting any results right now.
Yeah, definitely. It's really difficult. There's no tracks up in Canada that are running a pay-per-view style event. There's the only track really to have any racing on track is Varney and down on Highway 6 in Ontario. But outside of that, man, there's no racing happening.
No, I hear Cornwall is going to do something on June the 6th.
Are they?
Yeah. Cool. Now I heard that, but you know, it's very few and far between right now.
Definitely.
And I don't know. We could be down for a week or two or three. I don't know. But it continually gets a little bit tougher to produce the programs with content that, you know, everybody hasn't either heard already or, we're going to talk to J.R. Fitzpatrick tonight. He got a chance to go testing. We're going to catch up with Tim Terry. Of course, Tim's Corner Motorsports. They got lots going on iRacing. We're going to touch on all that. Clinton Jeffrey is going to be by. We'll talk Osweken. And Albert Francis, a super late model driver from the U.S. Big announcement, Rack Hunter. Yet Rack Hunter is on his car.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's that's a stout lineup. Well, there's going to be lots of content tonight.
There is. There is lots of content
tonight.
You
know, there was a race that took place on the super late model and late model side, of course, down south of the border at I-44 Speedway. The CRA series had their kickoff to the year.
Fans or no fans?
No fans. It was unique. There was fans, but there wasn't fans. But it was a 1999 pay-per-view type program, and there was lots of people there on the actual grounds of the racetrack.
Right.
But Carson Hocevar went to Victory Lane in the super late models, followed up by Nasty. Was second.
Steven Nasty.
He made the long trip
that.
Up from Florida.
He got a second in the super race, and I want to say a third in the pro late race.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good
Absolutely.
Running.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, lots of World of Outlaws action. I imagine Clinton Jeffries will fill us in on all things dirt when we do get talking to him. And I wouldn't doubt that Oshweken's got to be putting together something.
Well, we'll find out for sure.
Like whether it be the Pinty's program with no fans, like they were doing with MAV TV. It definitely it takes fans, man.
Oh, it does.
It takes fans in the grandstand, and everybody's up against this entire deal.
Do what you want. It's going to cost a large bucket of money.
Yeah.
If you plan on running a race and paying what normally gets paid or whatever the normal payout is, You plan on doing all that without fans in the grandstands? You can't tell me you're going to even come close to making money. You're going to spend a whack.
Now, on the payout side, you know, I imagine there's enough diehard racers to race a couple of times with no payout. You know, I would imagine that there's a handful of drivers, even a larger amount than that. If APC right now was to say, okay, guys, we're going to have an APC race with no fans in the grandstand.
With no payout.
With no payout.
Yep.
I still think that they would have a full grandstand. Now, is it sustainable? Absolutely not. No, full. Not a full grandstand, a full roster, like starting lineup. I think they could fill the field if they did a one-off or a two-off style race with no payout, and it was streamed live, whatever, however they did it, however they do it. I wouldn't doubt that they could sustain it for two events max.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside of that, it definitely takes a payout. But you got to look at it this way. These guys are racing a $90,000, you know, $85,000 race car, the front three quarters of the field, and they're racing for $1,900 to win. You know, if you win the race, you're going to take home $1,900 or $2,000.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, it's a net loss anyways. So really that $2,000, you know, obviously you couldn't sustain the entire season with no payouts. But I wouldn't doubt that you see a couple of those sprinkled throughout the year, whether it be APC, whether it be parts for trucks, whether it be invitationals done by certain tracks. You know, I wouldn't doubt that we see some events like that. And then I would bet that there's going to be some attempts at pay-per-view style.
Well, and you know, when something does break open, Racetime Radio will be right back at it.
Absolutely.
Right back at it.
Yep.
But you know, I don't know. It's increasingly more difficult as we click the days by, and it's kind of a situation where, we want this to have lots of impact, and to have impact, we got to have news, and we're trying to get whatever news we can and get it to you and fill 2 hours. When something breaks open, we are going to be full tilt right back at it, and that could be next week. I don't know. I'm just saying that things are sitting so idle that it's just about driving me crazy.
It is. Every day is the same. It's like Groundhog Day.
It is. That's exactly what it is. Groundhog Day.
It's a good
Day
movie, not a fun lifestyle.
No, it isn't. Even though we're getting the right weather, just everything feels off kilter a wee bit.
That's right. It's the first season. Like, reflecting back on, I know everybody's in the same boat. I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is the first year that I haven't been to a racetrack yet.
Yeah. Oh, me
like,
too.
By May. Like, I mean, since I was, like, 2 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
you started
yeah.
taking me to the racetrack when I was, like, really young.
Oh,
and we would
absolutely.
Go in May, like, to Sauble or to Flamborough or, you know, it's really wild.
Yeah.
You know, we had a shop party at DJ's. It was a social distancing gathering there last week. You know, everybody just kind of went through the procedures on what's happening with the, you know, the Pinty series, and we went through, you know, the updates that they did to the car and things like that, and really just had a chance to see the guys from the team.
Right, right.
Like, we really haven't hung out or seen each other since, you know, championship night down in down at Jocasta last year. So got the whole gang together, and, you know, we kept our distance and
speculated,
and,
really.
Know, we really just, you know, shot the breeze about what's going to happen. And, man, it was, you know, it was refreshing, but it was still eye-opening,
because
everybody's going through the same things. You know, when you talk to anybody new or you talk to somebody that you haven't seen for a while, everybody's experiencing the same thing you are with the quarantine. But, you know, looking at what DJ Kennington has got put together, man, if this season went off normally, you know, and fired off at CTMP for race number one, just like it was supposed to, he's always been well prepared. The team, the car gets to the racetrack well prepared every single time. So that's not new. But he had cars on the rack ready to go for all the way until the end of Edmonton.
Wow.
And like talking about having, you know, your ducks in a row, that's unheard of in the Pinty series.
Yeah. And then the West Coast swing gets canceled.
Exactly. West Coast, Quebec, you know, and then obviously the whole beginning portion of the season gets postponed. So really it was so cool to see how far and how much work went into this season, but it was also so gut-wrenching to think about it. You know, you put in all that effort and all that time and you know, acquire a bunch of parts and acquire new cars and all of that great stuff, and then everything hits the pause button. So feeling for everybody. If you've got a race car, man, if you've got a race track, if you've got a business that's struggling through this entire deal, we're feeling for you for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely difficult, but such an interesting time, really. When you talk to people, it's you can't even put it into words how weird it is.
Yeah, I know.
You know, on the racing side, it's just you know, racing is not just a hobby.
No.
Racing is not playing baseball.
It's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle. I don't care if you have a four-cylinder, if you have a super late model, if you have a NASCAR Cup team. You are committed to that. It's a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job. You know, just making sure that everything is in place and the bolts, the nuts and bolts don't fall apart when you get to the racetrack, is so crucial, let alone the competition side, right? Like, you're always looking for a lighter way to do something, or you're looking for a better way to travel the car, or you're looking for a more aerodynamic option. You're always, you know, looking at it, and you're always thinking about it. So when you don't have the ability and everybody is just like, all right, pause.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's
that pause was 3 months ago.
Exactly. So now everybody is getting antsy. I think you're seeing things open up. And you know, we obviously don't want that 3 months to be wasted.
No,
you know,
not
at all. If we blow the doors open and say, you know, we're back at it full time, I don't think that would be the right approach. But that being said, things have to open up soon. Otherwise, it's all going to be
well.
For naught,
economics
so.
Too, right?
Exactly,
it is huge in all of this, mm-hmm. And economically, this is a killer. I don't mean it's just an injury. This year is a killer if it goes on too long.
Yeah, I think so.
And
too.
That's no good.
But you know, I had a couple conversations this week with other racers, and one of them is actually a United 8 driver, Jake Brissett, getting ready for this season. And he said, you know what, man, this is actually probably a pretty good thing for racers in general on the grassroots level, because a majority of them are not, you know, working in a restaurant. They're not hair salons. They're not things that are closed.
Right.
They're construction workers. They're, you know, mechanical people. They're air conditioning techs. They're well drillers. They're all of those.
Yeah.
They're blue collar industries, whether you're a business owner or you're a tradesman, or you are a, you know, you're in technical sales or something like that, or you're a business owner. Really, it's interesting that he brought that point up, because really the target demographic of what the grassroots racer is, and now obviously there are people that, you know, might own a chain of restaurants, or they, you know, those types of things, and they will go through financial hardships through this, but having racers take a year off is not a bad thing. These racers, like on the racing side of things,
to reload
and be able to retool and not spend, you know, not go out and blow a motor and not go out and bend a front clip and not go out and smash the right side off the car, to take a year off of doing that, it's incredible. We've seen it. How many times have we seen it? We've seen guys step away from the sport for a short period of time and then come back gangbusters and go after it.
Right.
You know, and
what
and
concerns me is on the fan side of things,
absolutely.
the race fan that is as dedicated to the sport
they're
as gonna we
are.
They're
going to find other stuff to consume their time.
They have actually got an opportunity to go find something else to do. And that isn't good news for the industry.
But that
we don't
being,
want them going somewhere
that,
else.
That
we
being
want
said,
them at a racetrack.
If those diehard race fans go somewhere else, they will always come back to racing.
Yeah, well, it's a love,
to a certain degree. It's, you know, once it's in your blood, it's in your blood. So, I mean, the portion of them finding something different to do and finding something different out there, that is a portion of it. But I think that NASCAR being back on the racetrack right now has inspired a lot of new fans.
Yeah,
that are keying into NASCAR for the first time, because really it's the only live sporting event that's happening outside of the UFC and WWE. If you look through just Twitter alone, look at the new fans that comment. And you see the drivers comment back to them. You know, I've never watched NASCAR in my 35 years of being alive, but I just watched this race, and man, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
That type of thing goes a long way.
Sure,
so
it does.
I think that even though NASCAR's racing without fans and you know, they have to put the show on for the TV dollar, I think it could be one of the best moves to ever happen to the sport out the other side of this deal.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, and obviously I'm an internal optimist, I honestly think that because NASCAR is on the racetrack and they're putting a great TV product out there, I think that it's going to inspire a bunch of new fans. And on the back end, when Jake brought that up about the demographics in racing and being able to take a year off from spending, man, it could be a great opportunity out the other side of this to have a more healthy car count for some of these local racetracks.
That's true.
I don't know if that's, you know, I think that you got to take the good with the bad. And I just think that when you look at a positive that we could bring out of this is the core race team is built of people who are still working today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they're still getting paid, you know, if they're a crane operator, if they own a trucking business, if they, you know, there's a whole pile of when you go through the list of the people who you know that own a race team or drive a race car, and those industries are still working.
Yeah, there's still a segment of people that are working.
So when you look at it, I think
we
that
just
there
need
could be
this segment to get fired back.
Exactly.
Up. Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. We're going to hit our first break, and then we're going to go to the East Coast and grab Tim Terry. We'll find out what Timmy's got going on the other side of the break.
Hi, my name's Matt Box, driving number 27, late model Monte Carlo, Provincial Trailer Rentals, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. It was, you know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, concerts.
Is there anybody alive that
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
We are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio, hopefully on Sirius XM Channel 167. We're a little behind on the channel. No op in the studio, so we're on a delay, and that's okay. At least you're getting Race Time Radio on Sirius XM. What do you say we get back to the hotline, and let's bring in, from Canada's East Coast, all the way out there in the Halifax area, we got Mr. Tim Terry from timscorner.ca. Been a busy guy all the way through this. How you doing, Timmy?
Well, so far, so good tonight. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad at all, my friend. You've been one busy guy. I know we've all been locked down, but you've been still busy inside your place. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, I've been busy with iRacing. That's the great thing. I've been involved with iRacing for about a decade or so now on the announcing side, doing the NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series and some other leagues, and been involved in hosting races as well. So last month or so has been busy. We've been hosting races for our drivers in Atlantic Canada, plus a few friends that we have, and been busy with that, been busy with what we had, the quarantine shows back with the NASCAR Pro Invitational Series. When that happened, some stuff with IndyCar, IMSA, and, of course, the NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series that just ran on Friday night.
Hey, how's our two Canadian guys making out there? Keegan is one of them, and I can't remember the name of the other dude, but how are our Canadian guys making out in the NASCAR stuff?
Keegan's actually the point leader after Friday night. Took over the point lead from Ryan Luza. Ryan had some tough luck. Didn't qualify well. Got caught up in a wreck about halfway through the race. So Keegan took the point lead. The race that we had at Atlanta on Friday night went green to the end pretty much from about halfway. So tire strategy and fuel strategy really came into play. Keegan was one of those drivers that was running up front and then kind of lost a few positions at the end with those guys, having that long run mentality and having that setup to go the distance to get to the end. Dylan Duval is their other driver from Halifax. He actually had a top 10 run going, but with those green flag laps at the end, fell back a little bit, finished 14th. He's charging back up, trying to get into the top 20 in points to solidify his position into next year. But the good thing is, Joe, and it kind of ties in, these guys are from Halifax, and we've got an event coming up on Saturday. We'd love to be at Riverside, obviously, for the Parts Trucks Pro Stock Tour race, but that's not a way to go right now. But we do have a iRacing event that we're going to raise money for the IWK. So that's coming up on Saturday. We're going to run three different vehicles. We're going to run the Dirt Street Stock. We're going to run the Pavement Super Late Model. We're going to run the Pro 2 off-road truck on the USA International Oval that iRacing has. And Dylan and Keegan have both expressed interest in coming out and playing with us. So it's going to be a fun evening next Saturday.
Ah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, that'll be different for those guys, too, right? Different types of cars. I know it's iRacing, but totally different platforms.
Absolutely, it is. These guys are used to running the Cup car, and, you know, they spend hours and hours working on those setups to get them right. Obviously, Keegan Leahy runs for Denny Hamlin Racing, and Dylan Duval runs for Stuart Haas Esports, which is the division of Stuart Haas Racing. They do a ton of preparation, ton of work to get those cars to where they need to be. And sometimes they don't usually get to run a whole lot of other races. So not only is it cool to see them hop down and race with us, it gives our drivers a chance to race against drivers they might not usually get to race with in their element, per se.
Yeah, unreal. You know, the guys from Atlantic Canada are really going to be sharp when we do get that switch turned back on at the speedways. There's been a lot of guys doing the iRacing stuff. I know I was on with you just last night on the Mike Wants to Rock 75 at the Rock. We had a blast doing that show.
Yeah, it was a blast. And I talked to a few drivers that were in that race last night, got to go back and look at that broadcast, and you guys did a phenomenal job, as you always do. And that was actually, last night was a last-minute deal with Mike James. Mike kind of called me on Wednesday when the Cup race got rained out at Charlotte and said, hey, we're not racing Saturday night now. The Xfinity race got moved. Let's run something. So he wanted to go to the Rock, so we put the ARCA National cars on the virtual Rockingham Speedway, and it was actually a really good race last night. Barrett Bonner from Yarmouth, former Lake Dowsett champion, came away with the win. And these guys have been going at it since March or so, and, you know, the quarantine started to come in. We wanted something to do, and we've had, I think it's 206 drivers run at least one event. We have 98 active drivers that have run at least one race in the last 3 weeks with us. So the numbers are pretty staggering. Plus, we've got some special guests. Richard Beasley came in last night, finished in position number three. We've had Kevin King come in. We've had Keegan Leahy do one of our races as well. So we've had a couple of guests come in. Brett Suggs from the Southeast Super Trucks down in the Mooresville area. They were supposed to race this weekend, and they got canceled. So he got to race with us last night. It's been pretty fun.
You know what I'm going to say, right?
What, are you going to ask me the question that I think you're going to ask me?
No, I'm going to say it's okay. Doucette.
Oh, no, it's Doucette.
You know.
It's Doucette.
I had to do it. I had to do it.
If you ask Nick and you ask anybody that's down there racing at LBMS, it's Doucette.
Okay, we'll leave it as Doucette. Lake Doucette. I can't get used to that. It's like putting a fire out. You got to douse it.
Once you go into like Digby County and Clare and Argyle, it's Doucette. Everywhere else outside, it's Doucette. It's like Gaudette and Goody on PEI in New Brunswick.
Or Concord and Concord. Down south.
Yeah.
I lived in Concord, North Carolina, and people would be like, no, it's Concord. And I was like, no, you're completely wrong. It's Concord. It's Concord.
Yeah. Well, it's Toronto or Tarana.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough.
Incredible.
Same deal. Hey, now I'm going to ask you the question.
You're going to ask the question, aren't you?
Yeah. Now let me ask a question. Who's in the zero car next year, Tim? And don't hold back.
I am going to hold back just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
I saw a photo leaked on Facebook Friday night with the name above the door or the window of the zero car.
Ooh.
That photo was quickly deleted.
Was it?
So when I talked to the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, I gave Tara a call, and I said, do you know by any chance if there's a registration in for the zero, and if so, what name is on that paper?
Yeah.
And they said they didn't know.
Ah.
So I don't want to step on any boundaries and release a name.
Yeah.
But by the sounds of it, it is a name that we have thrown out here on Racetime Radio previously when we talked.
Ooh. We've thrown out 1,000 names, Tim. That doesn't help at all.
Well, that eliminates it to
like,
about 10.
You basically, the only name that you haven't thrown out there is Joe Chisholm.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only name that's not going in the zero car, according to you.
Your name.
You're not very reliable on this source here, Tim. You're not.
Did you put your name in the hat?
No.
I didn't.
His name's not in the hat.
I don't think I can fit in a full containment seat anymore.
That's too much fun.
That's why they make porta powers, though, right?
Yeah, we can stretch it out a wee bit.
I imagine we can make it work. But
don't need the left side.
So you're not gonna help us. You're just gonna say that you've seen a photo on Facebook the one time, then it looked like a name above the door of the zero.
And it was quickly deleted by somebody that is a friend of that driver. So I really don't want to step on toes and make that announcement, but when I did see that, I did ask the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, because that driver does have iRacing. We're going to be going iRacing with the Maritime Pro Stock Tour on June 9th, whether we send out an invitation or not.
Ah.
So if we don't hear it now, we may hear it before June 9th. We may not. We have to play a little bit of the waiting game.
All right.
So Tuesday, June the 9th, is going to be the Maritime Pro Stock Tour race.
Yep, that is the Cummins iRacing 200 or the Cummins 200 iRacing event, whatever you want to call it. South Boston Speedway. The great thing with the TCM special events that we've been doing, Joe, and I know Mike's been doing some stuff with Eastbound. Eastbound is going to have a test race or a practice race coming up on Thursday night. It's all going to happen at South Boston. So those Pro Stock Tour drivers are going to have an opportunity to practice in the special event servers. And, you know, if they want to attack a 150-lap race on Friday evening with the open guys, they're more than welcome to. And then they get their own race for a 200-lapper on Tuesday night. So that's going to be fun. They're going to get some laps in at South Boston, and then we're going to do another one. I think it's 2 weeks after that on the 23rd, and we're looking at Richmond as the venue. Might be a little bit of a shorter race because it's a longer racetrack, but Richmond, it doesn't matter what car you run in iRacing, Richmond is a phenomenal venue to run a short track race at, so I can't wait for that either.
Yeah, you know, the Lucas Oil 200, the virtual iRace Lucas Oil 200 we did with the Parts for Trucks Tour, that was an excellent race. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. I got to talk to Dylan Blankhorn here last week. I had to go up and finally get my winter tires off my car and get the summer tires on. Who knows how many miles we're going to get on it this year. But we were talking back and forth, and he said the same thing he did to you guys the night after, that he was new to his rig and his surroundings. He's run iRacing before, but stuff has changed, and, you know, went and hit a button to try to uncheck fuel and tires and ended up minimizing the window. So there were some drivers that needed to learn some things and got some laps in, but Dylan is excited about South Boston. He likes that racetrack, and, you know, with the speed that he had for the first time being back out, I think he'll be good. Jared Butcher's been doing a lot of iRacing. Cole Butcher's been doing a lot as well. Sean Piers, obviously, is really sharp. Stevie Lively's been on the sim for a little while as well, learning. Phil Fowler's. The learning curve might be a little more steeper for Phil, but he's still on there getting some laps. Gary Elliott's done a phenomenal job as well. List goes on and on. We should have around 20 to 24 drivers when we go green a week from Tuesday.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Maybe Dylan Gosby can make it out to this one. And you know for sure the Iron Man, the Quaker Stage Chevrolet of Gary Elliott, is going to know exactly where the starter switch is this time.
Well, actually, he ran our eastbound race last Thursday night. We've been doing some practice races with the guys from Newfoundland, and he actually finished in the top five in that one. So I was able to hit that start button and get going. I know Dylan needed some upgrades to his computer to get going on iRacing. He's a former iRacer, but with everything being updated and computers being outdated, he needed some upgrades. So maybe this will boot him in the rear end a little bit to get going. But would love to see some more Island drivers on there. Robbie McEwen had a tough ride the last time we raced, so hopefully he can rectify that and put that in behind him. Waiting to see Jonathan Hicken or one of those guys on there, too. I know he's in Montague. Cody Burns got a set up, so maybe he'll have to work out a deal with Cody Burns for a night.
Yeah, him, Greg Proud, how about Darren McKinnon? Like, all those guys, they'd enjoy it. I know they would, but you know what? Instead of spending the money on getting all the gear to go do it, those guys are probably banking on the fact that the gates are going to swing open and they're going to be able to get the real deal out.
Yeah, exactly. And we're kind of hoping that too. But with all the main thing with the tour out here is the border restrictions. The East Coast Mini Stock Tour already canceled their season because of border restrictions. They have officials and they have drivers, and obviously they're racing venues in all three maritime provinces. So it's hard to go across the border with a race car that won't let you in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they sit right now. And June is canceled for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Hopefully we see some return and get some better news. Nova Scotia has lifted their gathering number to 10. So that's better. It's still not obviously where we need to be to race. But as long as the tracks present their plan to the Department of Health, they'll be able to open up for testing. So that's a good sign for us here in Nova Scotia.
Hey, that brings up a really interesting point. I looked on New Smyrna's page, and they're limited to 10 as well. And how they're doing it, you know, for now, is they are selling blocks of tickets in tens, and it's basically all suites if you look at it that way, because they're giving a box in the grandstand of tens in the grandstands.
Oh, yeah, and then separating by 6 feet and doing it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually really interesting to me, because that would be a perfect way for – now, obviously, your capacity is down, but really, you know, you could still fill your grandstands by two-thirds if you map it out correctly.
Mm.
And you could charge a little bit extra because of the extra distance and those types of things. I imagine that the fans, you know, would pay up a little bit if you did it up right and made it like a suite or a venue, similar to the cottages that they do over in Saskatoon, you know, like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it could be
a very interesting platform rolling forward. And the tracks, like, because of that, you could do something where it was like a group of 10. You come out, you know, you could get hot dogs, you could get whatever delivered right to your suite. You know, that would be.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that might be an opportunity, because really, if you look at it, the availability of getting groups of 10 together, why can't you do that if you separate them by 6 to 10 feet or however you do that?
Yeah, separate 10 by 6 feet.
Yeah.
You can do that.
I mean,
that's,
I mean,
easy enough.
If you look at it, that could be an opportunity, because really Ontario is the same way, right? It's groups of 10.
Five right now.
Five right now.
Yep.
I thought it was 10.
Nope, 5.
Five.
As far as I...
That becomes a little bit more difficult in the grandstand. But, but I think that, you know, it would be very interesting to see that model play out on the local level. You know, if you know, 10 tickets would normally cost $100, say, then maybe, you know, that spot in the grandstand is you know, $160 or whatever, right? You up it by a little bit
to try to make up
a small percentage, but give them something additional in value.
Yep, and it's making it happen.
I mean, that model might be really attractive in Canada. You know, once that number is 25, you could then start to get pretty creative with it.
Yeah, you sure could.
Like, you obviously, and the Ontario Association has to, you know, now get behind that and really police it, but that would be an interesting deal to see a racetrack do that.
Yeah, it sure would be. Tim, you're next up Saturday night then, right? Or have you got anything going on this week?
We're looking at Friday night for our next iRacing race. That's the open race, so anybody from Atlantic Canada, and heck, if you're listening to us on Racetime Radio and you want to be a part of it, send us a league invite. You can go to timscorner.ca/iRacing or go to the Facebook page, and there's a league link there. You can go on to iRacing, log into your account, and send an invitation or send an application in. We qualify on Wednesday and Thursday, and then we hold the racing on Friday. And then Saturday is the what we're calling the TCM Triple Threat, benefiting the IWK Foundation with the Extra Life Maritime Guild. That's going to be fun. And then Tuesday, obviously, with the Cummins 200 iRacing show. So it should be fun for us that are still stuck inside and, you know, not really able to do a whole lot. I talked to a team actually yesterday in Nova Scotia that said that they talked to a couple of racetracks about testing. I've been talking to Greg at Sydney Speedway. We're trying to formulate the plan there, trying to figure out what they want to do next. New Brunswick number, you talked about the gathering number. New Brunswick, I believe, is at 50.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
They have a little bit of play. I talked to the guys at Speedway Mary Machine. Their plan is to still proceed with June 20th, but they're not sure what that entails right now, whether it's fans, no fans, what they have to do for competitors, obviously. They don't have a whole lot of outside competitors from outside of New Brunswick, except for J.R. Lawson, Chantel Ackles, the occasional guy like Dave Matthews or Cody Byrne. So they're kind of self-sufficient in their own provincial bubble. What's going on in Zone 5 up in Campbellton and Atholville might throw a little wrench into the plan.
There's
that too. So New Brunswick, I think if any of our provinces out here are going to go racing, New Brunswick is probably going to be first. I don't think really anybody still knows what it looks like, and it's going to take somebody to stick their neck out and kind of go for it.
Yeah, and we'll find out what the numbers do. And Campbellton, you mentioned that there. Of course, that's the hometown of Brad Mann. One of our color guys on our live race broadcast out there. We sure hope everything's okay with Brad Mann and Karen. Hopefully everything's good out there for those guys. What a shocker that was.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, you kind of look at that, and that was a doctor going across the Quebec border and coming back and not self-isolating. So what does that mean for those interprovincial borders in between both of us, New Brunswick PEI, even Newfoundland? Obviously, we've been talking to Mike James when we've been doing the iRacing deal, and, you know, they're kind of taking a look at it where, you know, everybody can go golfing, but they can't go racing yet. So what's the difference?
Yeah, and what a doorknob, that doctor. Man, oh, man, I'll tell you what, he's going to want to stay low.
I can imagine. Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk some standouts here in iRacing. You got to mention Danny Chisholm. That kid has been burning it up. And how about Mike Alexander? No surprise there. He is a veteran at it, but man, is he ever doing it.
Yeah, Mike Alexander, we've run 34, I believe, open races. Plus, we did a series for Petty back in May. He's got 9 wins in between Petty and the open races that we've done. Matt Barkhouse has 6 wins, I believe. Then you look down guys like Corey Hall, Danny Chisholm. We've had 20 different drivers win races. Ryan Messer obviously seems to be lights out every time he shows up. Craig McDonald, everybody from Corey Hall Racing seems to have their stuff figured out. Noel Fougier, who's the anthem singer at Riverside, did fairly well last night as well, came home with another top three effort. They all get to race in the All-Star Showcase. That's coming up on June 25th for all the winners, essentially. And we still got some marketing opportunities available for that. We're going to give out a purse for some of those guys that have been with us during the COVID-19 pandemic and have been putting on those shows and kind of giving back to them a little bit as well. So should be a pretty decent show there as well. We got a big week coming up at Oxford at the end of June. All the June dates are on the Tim's Corner Facebook page and on the website too. So there's a lot of standouts. We've had 200-plus drivers try to qualify for at least one of these shows, and that number continues to grow. Dave Horton came out last night. Great to see him, four-cylinder guy from Oyster Bed Speedway. So we continue to see some new faces, which is always good.
Yeah, it is, and you got to know Corey Hull will probably be real glad he was in his iRace number 83 as opposed to his Pro Stock last night. That thing went sailing.
Yeah, it did, and we had a long green flag run there in the middle of that race. We had some guys pushing and shoving at the very start and then some pushing and shoving at the end of it. But I know Corey's really excited to get going. He actually had that real Pro Stock out testing at Petty International Raceway, I believe, a week or so ago. So whenever we do get going, he's itching to get that thing on the racetrack and put down some laps. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later. But we're all at the mercy of the Department of Health and the public health officials out here. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, it could be worse. We could be on the other side of the border. Those poor people are going through hell right now with all the protests and fires and everything else that's going on. Things could be worse, right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great to, you know, have that little distraction from everything that's going on. I know NASCAR is wrapping up Bristol. You've got them doing a couple of races a week. And, you know, just the iRacing deal that we're doing, it regardless. And that's why we started it with that COVID-19 pandemic that we have. You know, you just kind of get your mind off it and forget about it for a while and strap in and go virtual racing with some of your friends that, you know, you'd see at the racetrack and maybe some fans, some crew chiefs. And for those that don't have iRacing, they can kick back and watch the show and have fun for a couple of hours.
Yeah, it's a hoot. Trust me, you want to check it out. Best way to do it, get to timscorner.ca. Get to his Facebook page. And join it whenever there's a broadcast. Totally enjoyable. I know we have a blast every time we jump on. Always look forward to seeing it. We always see some cautions, but man, those guys know how to put a green flag run together too, and that's the cool part.
Yeah, most of the guys, we kind of thinned the field a little bit the last couple of weeks. We used to start 29 cars, short track, short tempers, everything gets bent, whether it's virtual or real at some point when you go short track racing. So we send it back to about 22 or 23, depending on car count that we have. We run qualifying. We run heat races, last chance qualifiers. So it's just like you'd be sitting at your local short track out here in Atlanta, Canada, seeing these guys do battle. And it seems like now we get more green flag runs. Obviously, start of the race, sometimes you don't get the qualifying position that you want to, so you try to get a little more on a restart and a start. We saw a big green flag run in the middle. Guys were screaming for tires about halfway through that race last night. Rational Richard led a ton of laps in that one, then kind of lost the handle on the car and fell back. So we're hoping to see some good racing. South Boston is a tricky little racetrack if you've ever driven the sim or ever been on the sim. There's not a whole lot of places to run and hide if something happens. So if a wreck happens, it happens and happens fairly quickly. So we'll see what happens there. The Pro Stock guys will have a lot of opportunities to practice this week. The eastbound guys are going to do a little bit of a practice race on Thursday, and then we'll be there with the Tranquility Online Super Late models on Friday, doing our thing for 150 laps.
Tim, it's been great catching up with you. I know you guys are going to be smoking busy, and good on you for keeping it going, brother. This is it's taking everybody's mind off it and keeping the drivers sharp, and that's what we all want. As soon as that green flag goes back in the air, look out, this is going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal, to keep everybody sharp and, you know, get the mind off of what's going on in the world. And if you can forget about it for a couple of hours and sit back and do some racing and have some sort of normalcy, obviously, with yourself and Dylan Langell and Mike James calling these races, it's kind of given our fans a little something to look forward to. And with the uncertainty of what our season holds, it's always great. So looking forward to the next couple of weeks, getting some racing out there. iRacing's got a brand-new build on June 2nd on Tuesday. You've got the 87 Ford Thunderbird, the old cup, old style cup cars. You got the new Ford F-150 Gander RV and outdoor truck. You got all kinds of new content. Kentucky's rescan. There's all kinds of different content. So if you're on iRacing or you haven't been in a while, this week is a perfect opportunity to hop on and do so.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to work on grabbing Jerry Paxton and getting him up here for that June 9th race. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Get him in the Racetime Radio studio, and we'll have some fun, Tim.
That'll be awesome. Can't wait for it. Should be a fun little show. And I know those guys are practicing. I think Phil Fowler and Gary Elliott started last week when it was announced. So they're going to be all practiced up and ready to go. And you best believe that it's going to be another great show with Pro Stock guys.
Tim, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Surely do appreciate it. And be safe out there, brother. I know I look forward to getting together with you. We go to Murphy's and get some fish and chips.
Yeah, Murphy's is still open doing the takeout deal. Actually went to Masstown Market 2 weeks ago when I was up in Truro and grabbed some of their fish and chips. I've been eating well. Let's put it this way. The pandemic has been great. I haven't been out working, you know, pit road and working at the racetrack. So I've been eating well. I might show it a little bit by the time we get back to the racetrack.
No, that'll be fine. You'll be in good shape. I know it.
Yeah, well, we'll try.
You bet. Timmy, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You bet. That's Tim Terry, timscorner.ca. Check him out. Check his Facebook page out. If you haven't watched one of those East Coast iRacing deals, you got to check it out. What a hoot.
Yeah, absolutely. Good racing, good camaraderie. There's always some good laughs to be had, and obviously some good racing, too. Fills in the gaps.
You want to believe it. Next break is on deck. We will be back. Stay with us.
This is Dave McCullough with Oaks Auto, number 39 Powerade Modified from Delaware, and this is a race time.
The sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years, and I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And just like that, we are back with you tonight live on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. I'm Joe Chisholm, Sr., and he is Joe Chisholm, Jr. over on the other side of the desk.
You don't like being called Sr.,
no.
But yet you called yourself that.
I know. Well, you got to determine.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Just saying. So we got to know who won Bristol, and I don't know who won Bristol. Do you think it's even over yet?
I don't think it is.
Don't think so?
No.
Hey, that truck race the other night that you and I sat down and watched. Got
it was
the
great.
Truck races back on the track.
They did a wonderful job.
Wasn't that amazing?
It was good hard-nose racing. Probably the best mile-and-a-half racing I've ever watched.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. I felt bad for Matt Crafton. Crafton had a good truck. He was running along real good, and then, I don't know, he broke the sway bar, I think. Something in the back of the truck. He ended up breaking it, and that was the end of the night.
Yep. Brad Keselowski went to victory lane.
Did he?
Again, back-to-back.
2-2.
Yep.
2-2. Good for him.
And Logano and Elliott got into it.
Did they?
They did.
Well, they come close, I don't know, around lap 230 or something
like
that.
Yeah, right towards the end they got into it again.
Like into it?
Ended up, yeah, the 22 ended up going up into the fence.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was an ugly deal.
Uh-oh.
And Hamlin ended up backwards, and yeah, it was just an ugly deal. But
well, they wrecked a few today.
They wrecked a whole pile of cars. Today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Bristol,
but it's
baby.
Still not the same old Bristol.
No? Well, they have two lanes today.
I know, and that's what I don't like about it.
Huh?
I don't like that.
Why?
Bristol should be one lane around the bottom.
Well, it was one lane to start. And if you got down to the bottom.
It was around the top where the good grip was.
Right.
So when it's a one-lane racetrack and it's just against the top, there's no possible way to make ground up.
No.
When you're on a racetrack, and I'm going to use a racetrack for an example here, Flamborough Speedway.
Okay.
Now, people will say Flamborough Speedway, there's a few or a handful of people who can make the top work.
Right.
So they will say that there is an outer groove at Flamborough. There is not an outer groove at Flamborough. There's a handful of guys that can make it work.
Right.
A majority of the field needs to be rim riding the bottom, right down apex in the center of the corner, and coming off high. That's the way you need to run Flamborough.
We'll ask JR tonight.
I mean, JR, I'm pretty much certain he's going to say that it's a one-lane racetrack.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing. Now, if you have a racetrack the size of Michigan and it's a one-lane racetrack, you can't have that.
No.
It's got to be a four- or five-lane racetrack. You've got to be able to move around, and you've got to be able to make it work in order to have good racing. On a short track, one lane, to me, as a fan watching, a one-lane racetrack is more fun to watch. Sunset used to be a one-lane racetrack.
Yes.
It used to be one groove around the bottom and high down the straightaways. They went through the reconfiguration, changed the banking around a little bit, kind of arced the corner, changed the entrance to turn one and two, and really changed the exit of three and four and turned it into a two and really even a three-lane racetrack. That style of racing is frustrating to me because the guy on the top always has got the ability to get the run. It's impossible to make a good, clean pass. You know, but it's also when you do get up beside somebody, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but a one-lane racetrack, there is no such thing as a clean pass.
Correct.
You got to hit the guy out of
the way.
But
it is a one-lane racetrack. It is a one-lane racetrack. And
yeah, but there's no such thing as a clean pass.
And if you got to knock somebody out of the way, that's good short track racing.
Well,
not if you got to knock them out of the way. If you've got the ability to get up beside them with drive off down the straightaway, awesome racing. I love it. Now, that being said, when it is a one-lane racetrack and somebody makes it work on the top, it shows their skill.
Oh, yeah.
Like
watching Steve
the guy,
Laking
the guy
on
who
the
you
high
just
side.
Mentioned, Steve Laking at the high side at Flamborough Speedway.
Or
Jason
Sobel.
Jason Shaw, another name. Kirk Hooker, another
Tim
name. Tim Cole was great on the high side.
He was
better on the high side than he was on the bottom.
Yes, sir.
But Stompin' Tom Walters was never a guy. He was a bottom feeder.
He was.
His entire career still is. Dynamite on the bottom.
Yep.
And if you were in front of him and you were holding him up, he put the fender to you, and you were now in the top lane, and now good luck fighting him off, and good luck fighting off the next 10 guys back because they're all lined up because you were holding them up.
Right, right.
So that there is great racing to me, and I don't know if people are going to back me up on this or not. I think that overall, when you look at the old-style Bristol versus the new ground polished top lane Bristol.
And the glory
on the
bottom.
I think the people loved Bristol before. And, you know, I really when you look at what they did, the racing today, the racing every time since then has been good still. I still get a kick out of it. I miss the old Bristol.
You're not very adaptable to change, are you?
I'm very adaptable to change.
No, because that's what they did. They changed Bristol. I know they blew it when they first did it. But
they changed. Now,
today,
as
they
much
had
as,
two lanes.
As much as they say that they didn't change Jukasa from Cayuga, they changed Jukasa from Cayuga. And I like the new Jukasa more than I like the old Cayuga.
What did they change?
Well,
they didn't change nothing.
It is changed, though. There's a little bit more banking down the
infield.
Straightaway. And when you get off the corner, the sight lines are different. across the board, and the entry into 3 and 4 is different now than what it used to be.
Yeah, a little
bit. But it's adjusted, and it's good. It provides great racing. You can race Jukasa.
Put your foot to the floor, and I hope you got enough.
See, when you look at Bristol, though, I the thing that everybody loved about it was that you got that feeling. You got that feeling of, man, it was just mayhem. Yeah. And now you can run three wide. There was 20 times today, and there'll be 20 times during the Xfinity race tomorrow, where guys will be three wide at Bristol. That was unheard of back in the day.
You're right. Jeff Gordon, they got three wide today, and Jeff Gordon said, that ain't going to work.
And it worked.
And it did.
But
it worked a couple times.
When you look at it, I really... When it is short track racing, and that's partially the reason why I cannot call Richmond, Phoenix, Iowa. I can't call them short tracks. No. I can't do it in my brain because they don't race like short tracks. And technically, like I can't even call Jukasa a short track at a 5/8 mile because it's so fast. It's so fast and big. A short track to me is a half mile or smaller, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
That's a short track to me. Now, is 3/4 mile shorter than a mile? Yeah, it is. Does it race the same as a mile and a half? No. But it is not. When you look at Richmond, when you look at those style racetracks,
right,
and they call them a short track.
They're fast.
Loudoun, New Hampshire.
They're fast.
Loudoun, New Hampshire is not a short track.
No.
People call it a short track all the time. It's a mile long.
Well, it's a short track to NASCAR.
To the NASCAR guys, yes. But when I look at a true short track race, when you go to Delaware Speedway on a Friday night, when you go to Riverside Speedway, Edmonton is a true blue short track. I love the racing.
That's a bull ring.
But
that's a bull ring.
It's a short track.
I know.
And when you look at Edmonton and you compare that to Barry Speedway and how it used to be.
Yep.
Loved it.
Bull ring.
Those style racetracks put on some of the best racing. And really, on the Cup Series side, you want to call it a bull ring, whatever, Martinsville. You know,
yep.
it's a half mile, but the corners are super tight. It's super one lane. You know, you gotta be aggressive. You gotta wrestle the car the whole time. That's what I love. I get up on the chip for those style races. And I do not mean to belittle Sunset Speedway with what I said there.
No. Yeah, you didn't.
They altered the racetrack and they changed it from how it used to be. I like Sunset Speedway. I love watching racing at Sunset Speedway. As a competitor, spotting for a guy, working on a car,
yeah.
Dealing with a driver, it is some of the most frustrating styles of racing.
because you get
a perfect lap. And the guy's still sitting right beside you.
Yeah.
And there is a place for that style racing. Is it Bristol? No, to me. I do not feel that Bristol should be that way. And if it went back to a pavement track and it turned into a one-lane bull ring, I would be the happiest man on the face of the planet.
Well, those fans would have been standing had they been in the grandstand today with the action that was on that track. Amazing. If you missed it, I can well imagine TSN's going to replay it a couple hundred times. So you want to cue into it. It's a dandy. But we are getting close to the top of the hour. We've got to throw it back to Scotty, my man, in Toronto. Get you up to date on some of your news and highlights that you may have missed over the last hour. And then Junior and I are back for hour two, and that will begin right after that update. We got J.R. Fitzpatrick, Albert Francis. We got lots coming at you in hour two, so stay right there. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour two begins tonight here on Race Time Radio. So glad that you could tune in tonight. We're going to go back to the hotline right now, right like a jiffy, and let's bring in Clinton Jeffrey from Oswego Speedway. What's going on there, Clint? How you doing?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Just enjoying a nice Sunday barbecue since we can't be at the races right now.
Yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it? Like, all of us are missing it big time, right?
I can't believe this. You know, I'm a big historian fan, big fan of history, and I'm thinking I was reading just before all this happened about how racing was shut down during World War II for a couple of years. I thought, man, that would be a strange time to be a racing guy, and look where we are now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't stretch out as long as it did for our ancestors. Hopefully this gets out of here. How about you guys there, Clint? You guys doing any testing and tuning yet at that big, beautiful O?
No, we face a bit of a different situation than the rest of Ontario. You know, it's been a big story here how the 35-plus tracks and motorsports promoters got together in the province to get us at least recognized. So we give our full support to that. But, you know, being on the Six Nations Native Reservation, there's kind of a different government situation there. Right now they have put barricades up and borders around their community to protect, you know, the residents of Six Nations. So we are still kind of inside our own borders right now at Oshweekin. So step one for us is to get those down. We're hearing from the community possibly, you know, second week of June as things start to lighten up. They've been following Ontario on a lot of things. So we got to get the roads open, and then from there we can start looking at when we can get some fans back.
Yeah, safety first, and that's what they're doing, and that's what everybody should be doing. Safety first. We can always catch up after things are good and safe, and it sounds like that's the way things are going. But planning, I can bet you and Glenn and the rest of the team there at the Big O have been planning out the yin-yang for when it does happen. Can you tip your hand to anything that you guys sort of have on the back burner, looking down the road? I know nothing's guaranteed, but what do you guys got a vision of?
You know, I really wish I had some better news. Unfortunately, like Glenn says, we don't have a crystal ball. So it's really hard to say. We're kind of taking it day by day. We do take hope in a lot of things that are going on in the States. For example, being sprint car guys, Knoxville, Iowa, their governor just allowed 50% capacity. I've seen it happen in Vermont as well. I believe that they're going to allow 50% fans. So for us, that would be great because we could definitely make that happen with social distancing and our numbers to bring almost our regular show back. But we're hopeful to get something going within a few weeks after, you know, everything opens up. But we got to be allowed to bring back fans or it just isn't going to work for us.
Yeah. And you know what, Clinton? Nothing outside the box there. That's the way it is at every racetrack. And I know we have seen some racetracks run without fans. I know you guys have always been very forward-thinking in streaming your races. But really, would there be a potential of running a night at the Big O, live stream, pay-per-view, what have you, without the fans, or is that right out of the question, right out of the box?
Well, we do have, obviously, the Pinty's 100 was our big NASCAR race, and that's still important on our calendar as it is on NASCAR's calendar. So we're going to see what we can do when we get closer to that situation. That could be a possibility. But I think we're still hopeful that the fans will be allowed to get back in there sooner than later. And I've been telling a lot of our teams, you know, once we know when we can go racing, then we'll back up some practices. But like I said, for now, we just got to get the barricades open is the biggest problem we've got.
You just said Pinty's, and it just jogged a little switch in my memory here. We want to put our thoughts and prayers out to Adam Ross. I know he's your partner there. You guys do your show. Thoughts to Adam Ross. He lost his father a week or so ago, and just our thoughts are with Adam. I know we haven't had an opportunity to mention Adam on the show. That's a real heartbreak. His dad was a dynamite guy.
Yeah, I mean, Bob will certainly be missed by all of us. Had a great smile. I think I'm, you know, in our early days, he was always there to give us the critique and criticism we need to get a couple young announcers on the right path. And, of course, our thoughts with Adam and his family. We've been hard at work, Adam and myself, I can tell you, along with Dave Bittner. So I don't have a lot of new news from Osh Weekend right now, but our YouTube channel, GForceTV.net, has been taken off, and we partnered up with Dave Bittner. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early, but we are working on a series of races with the live stream around Ontario, not just dirt. So we're excited about a new series of races that should be coming out here in the next week. We hope to have a lot more things announced Tuesday. The first race has been announced, which will be June 13th at Humberstone. And, you know, they've taken some a good bit of work there, and they got some sponsors involved. And, you know, they're going to pay a purse and do everything normal just without race fans, if that makes any sense. But regular payouts, regular action, two-division show. And it'll be all streamed live for free on GForce TV. That's June 13th. And we're hoping to do a succession of Saturday races until we get the word when we can really get back to business right across the province.
No, that's cool. Good job. Good for you guys getting out there and getting her done. I heard one is coming up at Cornwall, too, I believe, on June 6th. Did I hear it correct? Have you heard anything there?
Yeah, so that'd be a dirt modified sportsman and mini stock show at Cornwall next weekend. We don't have any affiliation with that, but we certainly wish them well. I mean, all the promoters work together good here in Ontario. That's going to be on 360 Nitro, which is a Quebec racing station, and I believe it's going to be streamed in French and possibly English for pay-per-view, but all of our stuff will be free, so we're excited about that. Yeah, but Cornwall is getting the ball rolling with some modified stuff. I know Dave Bittner's going to have 315 modifieds and Thunderstocks. The car counts have been lining up quickly. I think he's well over 25 Thunderstocks already signed up, and we're excited to bring it. So, you know, things are starting to come together a little bit. I think, you know, we're finally on the backside of this, and feels like we're getting closer to getting going.
We get cars on the racetrack. That's going to be a good positive sign, and that's absolutely what everybody needs all the way around. Doesn't matter what flavor you fancy. We got to get something happening here because people are going a little bit stir-crazy. Tough deal that this come into effect because I know you guys at Osh Weekend were really looking forward to 2020. Your classes grew exponentially last year. With a really good-looking future for this year.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the craziness that's gone on, I'm still excited about when we do shake this and get it off behind us, because I think we should be able to get up and running full steam on all eight cylinders like we were at the end of last season. I mean, we came off our live television program with MAV TV and, of course, All North Racing powered by Pinty's, which was super cool for us to bring sprint cars across Canada. And to get our race teams a live television, you know, platform to get out there, which certainly helped them with their sponsorships this year. So that's an exciting program. We're in year two of that going into, as you mentioned, car counts were up big time. And as the crate sprint continue to grow, you have more guys that trickle up to the 360s. And I think we're going to be close to 50 crate cars on a lot of nights this year, as I see more and more names that I didn't even know every week jumping into that pool.
Absolutely. The buzz is definitely behind the crate program, the crate sprint car program that Osh Weekend has going on. It is an incredible program. What was the average last year? I know you just mentioned, you know, close to 50 cars, you know, some nights this year, but what was the average? Because it was a high number.
I believe it was 35.
Yeah, 35 cars.
Not bad for a division that's, what, 2 years old?
No, we're about 6 years, but we were at four. We started with 11 cars the very first night. So we announced it in the October prior to the first season. We had them opening night. We had 11 cars and continue to grow. Our highest count last year was 46 at the Summer Nationals. And now the other thing about that crate division, Brockville has picked it up, and there's a group in Quebec that has started the Quebec division. We worked with them right off the bat to make sure they kept our rules, our engine seals, so we could build a, you know, a solid program right across the country or at least from Oshweken East so far. And I think the Canadian Crate Nationals were going to be, I know that was going to be our Nationals weekend. It was going to be the Friday, so we're going to be the first ever Burger Barn Canadian Crate Nationals, and we expected well over 50 cars for that event as well. So, yeah, it has really grown, but I think we did a good job of getting out front and basically letting it known that we wanted to work with them, and please don't start your own rules because, you know, we don't want to be splitting hairs down the road, and they were great. Great partners to work with.
Absolutely.
Time flies when you're having fun. I thought it was like two, 3 years. Six. Gone.
Yeah.
It's been a while for sure. Clinton, you know, we've had some fun on the program, and over the probably the last, what, nine, ten shows, we've talked to various NASCAR Pinty's drivers about the event that's, you know, planned to take place on the dirt, the first dirt race for the NASCAR Pinty's series. I asked LP Dumoulin, to kind of kick it off. Who was going to be the first one to go around backwards in practice, like to get out there and spin out? Because I think one of the most fun things to watch of the year is practice from Eldora with the trucks. Because, everybody goes out there and finds the limit relatively quickly.
Tries to get a hold of dirt.
And so LP, of course, said JF would be the first one backwards. So then right after that, we had DJ on, and DJ said that Hathaway was going to be backwards the first time. And then after that, we asked Hathaway back-to-back, and Hathaway wouldn't give us a clear answer. But it's only fitting to ask you now, because you've definitely been a part of the Pinty series on the TSN broadcast for years, and you know Oshweken like the back of your hand. Who's going to be the first one to go around backwards come practice time when the Pinty's cars do unload there?
Well, I know who was the first one to spin out on the dirt in practice, and that was Andrew Ranger.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised DJ didn't throw him under the bus because he put him in the car first and sent him out for the first session that we had when we did testing before we could announce the race, because we had to make sure the cars could even get around and look good. And right off the first test, I know there were a lot of, the higher-ups at NASCAR were there, and we all knew right away we had something that was going to work great. But technically it was Andrew Ranger. But you mean when we get back to it?
When it's practice time, when they're all decaled up, it's a totally different deal. It's a totally different deal than rolling in there with a black car with no setup in it and preconceived. It was just playing at that point, right? But when you show up at the racetrack, that's a whole different ballgame, like for the actual race.
If I had to guess, and no offense to this guy.
No, there's no offense. This is a fun thing.
I know he can take the joke, but. Racing Jason White, we had him on our talk show. He is a former sprint car driver, so I think he's going to get out there and just mash the gas, and he'll be the first one to push the limit. But also, like the dirt guys know, if you're not on the edge, you're not, if you're not close to spinning out, you're not nearly going fast enough.
That's
so
right.
It'll be interesting to see. We're excited about that race. I know, like I mentioned earlier, NASCAR, of course, everybody at Pinty's, us at Oshweken, that's a crown jewel event for us for sure, and one thing we're looking forward to. And the official statement there is, it's still months and months away. So we still have full hope that we can run it off as it has been, scheduled. We'll know as we get further down the road, but I don't think you'll probably see us make a call on that until mid-July at the earliest, because we're going to try and hang on as late as we can. I would hate to pull the plug on that, and then we get the full green light to go.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see us hang on to that one as long as we can.
It's going to be a magical race when it does take off. And hopefully the borders are open, too, because there are some big names that are planned to be a part of it, obviously, with Kenny Wallace and Stuart Friesen and, lots of different involvement. And even some local guys like Mac DeMann is going to be in Jim Bray's car. And, an incredible deal. Hopefully everything does transpire and everything can get straight before then. It is lucky that it is later on in the year, for sure.
Yeah, and this has been a bit of a blessing for us, too. We've done some great improvements at the Speedway. Fortunate that, like I said, Six Nations is on lockdown, but a lot of our staff live there. So they've been still working away at the Speedway, getting a lot of different things done. And some of the stuff they've been working on is, Glenn just acquired the lumberyard right behind the main grandstands and has cleared all that out. So that'll be fresh new parking culture than it's ever been. Within 20 yards of the gate, pretty much now, people will be right there. We're going to tie the two parking lots together. We've removed the front and back stretch wall right now. We're pouring a brand new concrete smooth wall front and back instead of the block wall that we've had. And that was one of the things we talked about NASCAR, you know, to really help those cars if they get into the wall, not tear them apart. And it's a great improvement for us. We're building suites in the pits right now. All that's a little bit behind schedule, as you can imagine, but you know, a lot of big things are happening in our world. And that's the best news I could give to our race fans and our race teams is when this all started to come about is that Glenn Stires has not slowed down. He's continued to pour the coals to the improvements and, you know, acquired land. We've been demolishing buildings. It's been coming together really nice. So hopefully when we do get to open up for fans, they're going to see a new and improved Oshkosh Speedway.
Well, you guys never hit the coach. I can guarantee you that. You or Glenn, you keep your foot to the floor like always, and you keep it all going, man, and that's the way to do it. Clinton, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We got lots to update there. That's pretty cool stuff, bud.
Yeah, I just want to tell all your listeners and make sure you pay attention because in the next week you're going to see some great stuff for both the dirt and the pavement fans here in Ontario and the race team. And like I talked to some of the promoters, we're going to try and get this ball rolling a little bit, at least get the engines fired up and idling. And, you know, we won't be at full steam yet, but we're going to get something done. So I think hopefully by next week we're going to have a lot more to talk about, guys. So hang tight. We're putting the, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and we'll have some great news next week.
Yeah, good stuff, Clint. Thanks so much for the time tonight, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You betcha. Clinton Jeffrey right there. Osweken, he's got other news coming down. Always a busy cat.
Absolutely, definitely. A staple in the sport for sure here in Ontario.
You betcha. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, J.R. Fitzpatrick has had that 84 car out testing. We're going to get the goods on it and find out how he'd made out.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Perfect!
Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir,
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports. Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Well, we haven't been to the track, but this next guest has been to a racetrack inside his shiny brand new number 84. He is a past champion of the APC Series presented by Grisdale. and he is one of those thundering stars of Canada that we all know. J.R. Fitzpatrick is on the other end of this hotline. What's going on there, kid? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing good. So all that hard work in the shop over the winter all comes to a test. How did it go?
I mean, it went pretty good, actually, considering, you know, we kind of put everything on hold there for a while, and we're uncertain when or if we were ever going to get out. And fortunately enough, you know, Flamborough and a lot of other tracks started allowing us tests, so took the advantage to go to my home track and do a little shakedown, and surprisingly, everything went perfect.
All the nuts, all the bolts were tight, and out you went. And now, just one car, JR, or did you take two, or how many cars did you have there?
No, I just took one because that car is actually a new car that we put together. It was supposed to be the one to replace the chassis that I wrecked at Jacasa. And then, anyway, we just decided to fix the other car, and I actually ended up selling it. Somebody bought it from the U.S. side, so it was, worked out perfect. I could kind of finish building this one over the winter, and to be honest, I'm kind of glad it went that way because I think this one's a lot better than the one I had last year. It just felt much more like what I need for tracks around here and on our shock package and our tire and whatnot, so I think we're going to be pretty good whenever we get going.
Now, JR, through the middle portion of the show here, we were talking about Bristol and how the old Bristol was. The old Bristol was a, you know, single groove racetrack, and that led to conversation talking about tracks around here. So Dad wanted to ask you, number one, we're going to ask JR this question. Is Flamborough a one groove racetrack that a handful of guys can make the top work, or do you feel that it's a two groove racetrack?
I mean, it's one of those, you know, I think there's a bunch of two-groove tracks around. I just think people need to learn how to race. You know, like, the guy on the bottom has to be able to go in the corner and not shove the guy on the top three lanes up and start hell, because that's what was happening a little bit last year. And same for the guy on the top. You can't be trying to put the guy in the grass. So I think there is two grooves there. I think there's two grooves at Sauble. There used to be two grooves at Peterborough when they put the traction stuff up there. It was actually awesome up there. But I would say Peterborough is really the only single-lane track that we go to. Everywhere else, you can make it work. It all depends on if the two guys or two girls or whoever's in the cars want to make it work.
If there's respect there, right? If there's respect and thought put into it, there's times where it can where you can run clean side by side at the short tracks. Absolutely, I'm with you. I was just saying that I love when a racetrack is single groove because the hard nose racer comes out. Obviously, it's a little bit more expensive on fenders, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for the majority, a lot of people are afraid to go to the top because the racing is so close now.
Yeah.
Usually the only time I'm talking about, like, side-by-side stuff is usually on restarts.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, you know, the good old-fashioned moving a guy, it's good, hard, short-track racing. Now, you get some people where it hurts their feelings and you move them up and they feel they got to come and yell and scream and cry at you after a race, but I mean, I think, you know, if you watch today's Bristol race, I think the track was so bad that guys couldn't even dive in on the bottom. It was just, I don't know what they had going on there, but it was awful.
JR, do you ever look at the lineup? Practice is done. Heat races or qualifying is done. You take a look at the lineup and you say, okay, boys, change this car. We're going to set up for the high set because that's where I'm going to run tonight. Do you ever do that?
I mean, I usually like to everywhere we go, at least usually in the last practice in the APC Tour, I like to go out and run the high groove at every track only because you're going to be out there at some point in time. So, you know, Jacasa, you know, I ran the one APC race there pretty well on the top the entire time. Nobody could get the momentum to get under me. Now, that was just coincidence. I moved up and I found grip and I stayed there, but you got to move around. You got to search the track because a lot of our tracks are wore out. You know, there's some of them are bumpy and there's grip hiding in certain places. So if people are all running in one groove, like, yeah, everyone's got to understand that when you lay rubber down on the racetrack,
you're actually going to take speed away from the track, and you are going to lose grip. You're going to lose your nose, because the fastest a race car will ever go is on a clean, green racetrack that just poured all day, all night. The next day you go out, I guarantee the first practice, second practice, it'd be the quickest time. So
really?
Yep.
Really?
That's why, you know, on TV they always say that times are going to be crazy fast because it rained, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm all about searching and looking for lines.
So if you do set up for the high side, are you giving up anything for the bottom? Or can you, if you set up for the high side, can you change in your mind now and say, okay, I'm going to run right on the yellow line?
I mean, it depends really what you're after. I mean, if you want to go top of the board, everyone aims for the bottom of the racetrack. If you're looking for a good race car, you got to move around, right? So traditionally, everywhere we go but Jocasta, I don't think anybody's really aiming for the top. Sunset maybe a little bit, but I think for the most part around here, everyone's just trying to get their cars turned on a dead bottom, and if you get them turned on the bottom three quarters time, they're going to work pretty good on the top. So
I'll never forget JR Barry Speedway spotting for you in the Pinty's deal. Well, it was Canadian Tire at the time.
Yeah.
Spotting for JR, and we ran every practice session up top. And everybody in the garage area, everybody in the pits was like, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? Even the spotters are looking at me like, what is JR doing? And we were lightning fast. Remember that, JR? Like, I mean, you were lightning fast up top. You could make hay up there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You gotta search, right? You gotta look around. And I know someone who didn't like it was Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson did not like that.
Thompson's old school. He likes being pinned to the bottom. You know, he's like Harvick. Harvick always says, shortest distance around racetracks on the bottom, but...
Yeah.
You got to start thinking momentum, and that's why I always say, you know, you got to start searching, but, you know, you just can't dedicate yourself to one lane because it usually gets you in trouble.
It's more of a balance, right? It's a healthy balance.
Yeah, exactly.
If you go out there and the car gets way too tight, then, you know, you got to make a small adjustment, but you can't do anything to affect your bottom speed, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. You've come a long way in this sport, J.R. Fitzpatrick. I was hunting around there on Facebook. I don't know whether it was this morning or yesterday. Looking around in here, I see this junior Cascar on its side and a picture of you when you were like 6 years old getting interviewed after flipping that thing.
Yeah, I did that a few times, actually.
What did you do that for?
I remembered exactly that picture you're talking about because it was at Delaware and the inside track. The two guys in front of me were, I'm trying to remember what their names were, but they were jokingly saying that if I tried to pass them, they're going to flip me because that's the year in the Planet NASCAR I won, like, I think it was like 8 or 9 features out of like 12 races or something that year. So, turns out they ended up flipping me. One guy spun out in front of me coming around the concession stand, and I hit him in the door, and then I kind of came to a stop, and I just got hit from the back, and it literally just flipped the car right over.
Up and over you go.
Pardon?
Up and over you go.
Yeah, it went end over end, I think once or twice, and then Flamborough, I went for a tumble in one of them things too, and so the closest I've been to flipping something again was the TQ Midget a few years ago.
Ah, those things are scary. You can flip one of them pretty easy. All you got to do is go sideways, and they hook up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I tell you what, one of the craziest memories that I have in racing, Peter Gibbons' daughter, and I'm trying to think of her first name. Catherine? Is it Catherine?
Don't know.
Peter Gibbons, it was painted like the, and it might not even been Peter Gibbons' daughter. She might have been one of the crew guys or, you know, daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
Her car was painted exactly like Peter Gibbons. The
one,
the number one Canadian tire
car. Daughter. She was from Strathroy.
Well, whoever she was connected, though, to Peter Gibbons. Somehow, there was a connection.
Program.
Yeah. So, we had a junior cast car, junior late model invitational, and you were at an all-star race.
Yeah,
and I'm pointing across the table here. But, so it was me and my Uncle Gary, and, you know, that was like my whole pit crew. And you just said, you can go race it, just don't wreck, you know, be safe, whatever.
Yeah.
So... we show up, we unloaded, and it was practice time, and there was like, it was like the first time that we had ever raced with like 30 cars. Like there was a whole pile of junior late models.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like the second lap of practice, and I was following this one Canadian Tire car, and she rolled in with this beautiful hauler. Like it was a gorgeous, like big Canadian Tire hauler and everything. And she came off of turn 3, and I was like 3 car lengths back from her. and she just didn't turn to go straight. Like, it was just like she was still in the turn. She just drove straight through the fence. And the car went up, upside down, and then barrel rolled, like, three times right in front of me. And, like, that was one of the scariest things to watch happen. So now when you see a wreck on the racetrack, when I see a wreck on the racetrack, I think about the feeling that the guy behind feels, you know, like that's like, oh my God, like,
I'm going to be in this.
That's scary. but those junior late models, man, we had some good times in those.
Yeah. Yeah. They were a good learning ground. And I keep saying I want to go back and watch on Wednesday nights. And I was hoping to do that a little bit this year, but we'll see. I mean, I would like to maybe one day get involved with my other little one here. I think she's going to be a little crazy one, so I think she might be the racer.
Yeah, nice. She's right in Dad's footsteps.
Pardon?
Right in Dad's footsteps.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully she takes a little bit of a cleaner route on the way up through the ranks, but, I mean, hey, it gives everybody some character.
Yeah, it sure does. JR, practice you've got in. Are you going to go practice some more, or have you had enough of that? What's the scoop?
Yeah, I'm doing the actual tire test for the Jocasta tire.
Oh, nice.
So I'm doing that tomorrow, actually, at Jocasta. Going to be testing out a set of tires for the APC Tour and the Nationals and see what we can do with that, see if it works. And so it worked out well for me. I can get out there and see how my little crate engine will do against, you know, like the Fords and whatnot, because I'm running the crate engine that I won from Flamborough Speedway last year, which is taking a 75-pound weight break this year or whenever we get going here.
You told me you weren't going to do that, by the way.
Pardon?
Off air. You told me you weren't going to do that off air.
I can't tell you everything.
You told me off air that you weren't going to do that. You're like, I won the crate, but we're not going to do it. But now you're telling everybody on air. So are you telling the truth on air, or are you telling the truth when you're talking to me off air?
No, I'm telling you that I'm bringing a go-kart to the APC Tour.
You're going to bring a go-kart, yeah.
That thing could roll so fast, but I hit the gas, and it's literally just like going to Formula Car Ways.
Really? Really?
You just hit the gas, and you kind of laugh, come out of the corner, like,
just nothing under your foot.
Yeah, so it was something to get used to, but we'll see how it works. So I think there's another car going. So that'd be good, and I can compare. And this year, I bought myself like a GPS lap timer, so I don't have to rely on all my guys' old thumbs.
Right.
I have like a legit timer now, so I can see where we stand compared to some of these other guys.
Yeah, and that'll be more of a momentum car now, right? You won't be able if you break your momentum, you lift, you lose. So you're gonna have to keep the momentum up.
Yeah, no, that's definitely it. It'll be interesting. I think it's going to work really well. It's a good idea they have happening, and as long as they police it, that's obviously where the program started, and it got a little crazy. So I'm one of those people that are against rule changes, but for this particular case, if they can bring it back, I really think it's going to work really well because, you know, I was really happy. Literally just no word of a lie, just putting the front pulley sets and everything on this thing, putting it in the hole, and it worked really good, so...
The Ford
deal worked really well, but it just didn't suit my style, so I got rid of them.
Yeah, save some money. That's the whole name of the game.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, to do the switch and to do everything, it doesn't, but in the long run, it will, you know. I know Joe Jr. and I have had the conversation. We disagree on a couple facts, but...
Don't feel bad. I disagree with them all the time.
Well, you know what? It's one of those deals. Everybody's has their opinions, and everybody's got, you know, views from inside or outside or wherever they are in the sport. So I don't care as long as everybody just stays positive and keeps this industry rocking and rolling. That's all I care. I don't really try to get involved in all the BS anymore. I just... want things to be good, smooth, and let's all just go do our thing.
Yeah, and good on you. Hopefully we get that underway sooner than later. I can tell you we're all going a little crazy not being at the racetrack at this time of the year. I'm sweating, and I should be at a track somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, I've seen some people on the Internet crying about the racetracks and doing this and doing that, but, like, they got to understand that we're all of us got our hands tied here, you know, like... Even for us as a business, there's only certain things we can do because the government's got their finger on everything. So,
mm-hmm.
it'll all go back to normal eventually, and we're going to look back at this and kind of giggle about it and say, can't believe we spent half the summer, or hopefully not the whole summer, not doing anything. But, you know, it's part of life. We've got to carry on eventually.
Yeah, we're in survival mode. I can guarantee you that. We're all in survival mode, or at least I know we are here. Trying to keep things glued together. But this has been great catching up with you tonight, kiddo. I always look forward to having you on here. We always have a laugh. We always get some information. And that's the cool part about J.R. Fitzpatrick. You got a storied history, and I know you're not done building on it yet. This is going to be good when we go green.
Yeah, and hopefully I can keep building on it. I just got home from a dirt biking trip on the weekend and smashed my face off the ground, cut my lip. So I decided to stick with the trail riding, because if I kept going out on that track, I probably would have came back with a broken bone or something.
Yeah. You're a four-wheel type of guy, bud.
I
mean, you're gangly. You're like a baby deer. you just need four wheels.
Five.
Well, I'm a baby deer. You're like Kung Fu Panda.
That's a new one.
That's the way that it is, man.
More like Shrek.
Hey, and one good thing is, with that GPS lap timer, Teddy can't lie to you anymore.
Yeah. Well,
You're not actually turning 12 second lap times at Sauble.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on all that.
Too funny. JR, it's been great catching up with you, kiddo. You have a good one. Give everybody a hug.
I will.
Including Teddy. Give Teddy one, too. And that's JR Fitzpatrick. We're going to hit a break when we come back.
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu. When we come back, we got Albert Francis. He is a super driver from down south of the border. He's got a big sponsor announcement that he did this week. And young driver's going to be at UCASA. We're going to talk to him next.
Hi, race fans. This is Mark Williams from RacingCreator.ca, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 167. So glad you could tune in. We're going back to the hotline now. This young driver, we got a chance to catch up with this guy. Got a chance to watch him, actually, at UCASA last year in the big show at the end of the season. And his name is Albert Francis. He drives the number 33, and he does a whale of a job. What's going on there, Albert? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Man, I'll tell you, I've been watching along, following along on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. You got your poop in the group, man. You got a beautiful-looking 33 car there. That looks like you're set to go for 2020.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's always a battle, though, you know, getting ready for everything. And it's always too much to do and not enough time in the day.
Absolutely.
Ambitious schedule all laid out. Hopefully we can hit all those races, and you can dot all those and cross them all off the list. Do you got a favorite track that you're going to be going to that you've got on your list?
I like them all almost equally, but I'd have to say either Nashville or Dukasa. It's probably my favorite.
Absolutely. Albert, you know, we've been connected for the past couple of years, and I've kind of followed your career path through to now. But you've got a really interesting story, and you've got a tremendous amount of racing in your blood, in your background. But I think it's really interesting, and I think that everybody would find it interesting to hear how you got started in the sport, because you've got a much different path than a lot of people.
Yeah, my dad, I've been around racing my whole life, so my dad started back when he was like 14, 15 years old. So at that point, he was at the local level. After he got his business going in, I believe it was 86, he started going to Daytona with his Busch car. And I believe his last year there was 05 with Mike Wallace. And all my brothers have raced. Being around it as much as I was, I just took a liking to it.
Now, the first car that you drove, though, that's the thing that always gets a kicker out of it. The first car that you ever strapped into, what was it?
It was an Outlaw Super Late Model.
That's what you started with.
That's what you started with, Albert.
And that's the thing that, you know, when I heard that the first time, and I'll kind of give the backstory on how we met. You were coming up to Jukasa for the Outlaw Super Late Model show originally. And I put it out there because I was going to be there spotting anyways for, I don't even know if it was partnered with the Pinty's deal or what it was partnered with. But I put it out there and I put it on the Ontario Outlaw Super Late page and just said, hey, if there's anybody that needs a spotter, I'm going to be there anyways. And, through the grapevine, I was introduced to Albert and his dad, and I was supposed to spot for him. And, I had never heard of Albert Francis. I didn't know who he was. The car looked really cool. He'd done some really neat things, obviously in the short reading up that I did. And then the first time I met you, that's the first thing that came out is that's the first car that he ever drove is an Outlaw Super Late. I was like, what?
Most guys
nobody starts out in an Outlaw Super Late model. That's it's just a really cool story. And through that, I think that, and you turned a tremendous amount of heads last year in the brief stint that you did in Pro Late model. You had some great results last year with the template car. And obviously, qualified in the top five for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. A lot of people don't realize that, man, the kids used to drive an 850 horsepower.
Right.
So you strap into a 450 horsepower or 400 horsepower, template car, and really it feels like you're going to fall asleep a little bit.
It's a great...
Believe it or not, the Outlaw cars are actually in the racetrack harder than template cars are.
Really? Yeah, amazing. Where's hometown for you? What's your hometown? What's your home track?
Painesville, Ohio. I'd probably consider Toledo my home track because it's the closest one to me.
Now, half mile, you'd love that speedway. Is that the one you cut your teeth on?
No. My first racetrack was Midvale. And I probably have more starts at Midvale than Toledo, but I grew up at Toledo, so I would probably consider that more my track than anything.
It's a lightning fast racetrack with an Outlaw Super Late Model. That place is just rocking fast. Albert, of course, looking at the schedule, the release that you sent out, there's there's some really big names, racetracks that you're going to be heading to if you know, the COVID virus allows these racetracks to open. By the sounds of it, talking off air, June 6th was going to be your first race at Jennerstown. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So looking down the list, though, there's a bunch of racetracks that I don't believe that you've ever been on. Can you kind of walk us through what it kind of looks like as a schedule right now, given the information that you have on hand?
My information is very vague on what they give me, because I talk to people from different series, and they're like, they don't even know if they're going to get a race in this year or when or where. So it's like, the schedule is almost like a fairy tale almost, because you never know what anything's going to do.
Yeah.
So you've got out and you have tested, though, right? You've got out and got turned some laps in both the Super and the Pro, or just the one car yet?
Just the Pro. Actually, when I go to race on the 6th, I rented the track for the morning for 2 hours, and I'm going to test the Super, because that's another race that I know we're going to July 4th there, and they have Supers and Pros, and I haven't decided if I'm going to take both or just the Super or not.
Gotcha.
Ah, so you get a couple of bullets to choose from. Hey, you got a cool partnership going on, too, with Get Rack Hunter. That looks like a pretty cool deal that you guys have got going on there, and good on you. That's you got a beautiful-looking 33 machine.
Thank you.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. You're going to be out, get to some of those short tracks. He's a talented guy. He's going to turn a lot of heads this year, Junior.
He is, for sure. You know, by all accounts, the partnership that you've got going on with Van Dorn, you guys work very closely with both Butch and Johnny over there, right?
Yeah, and I talk to him at least two or three times a week, or he's always wondering what's going on and how it's coming. We go to a race, he's always asking how we did and what's wrong with the car and what we can do better, and always willing to help.
So social media-wise, how do fans stay up with the progress of the number 33 car? What do you got going on?
I'm not the best at keeping up with that, because I normally do a lot of that stuff. I work on my car mostly myself, and when we're at the track, I do a lot of it too. That's kind of hard, but I'm going to try and keep up with it a little better, and I'm going to do it on my Facebook page and my Instagram and my Twitter. It's Albert Francis Racing is my Facebook. I don't remember.
Albert Francis Racing 33 on the Instagram, right? I think so.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you just type in Albert Francis, there's not a whole lot of Albert Francis's out there in the world.
Right.
So you're pretty good.
Not a common name.
You'll find a race car picture, and you'll find Albert Francis, and it might have a checkered flag in the profile picture, right?
I don't know if my profile pictures do now.
Well, you're going to have to get one, and hopefully you get one this summer. That would be kind of cool, Albert.
I've gotten a couple. There's a couple cooler profile pictures that I have in those ones.
Well, I know Canadian fans look forward to seeing you at the Short Track Nationals this year at UCASA. Hopefully everything gets online, and we can have a good time on Labor Day weekend this year. Albert, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Surely do appreciate it, my friend.
No problem.
You bet. That's Albert Francis, driver of the 33 Get Rack Hunter Chevrolet. That is a Chevy, isn't it?
Yep, Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Neat looking deal.
Yeah, beautiful looking car.
He's just a young kid. But how about that? Starting out your first time in a race car, you strap into an Outlaw Super Late Model.
How do you do that? And he's a young guy. How old is Albert?
Just I didn't turned ask 18.
Him. Just turned 18. Yep. So what was that, like a year or two ago that he jumped into the Super?
No, he jumped in when he was, so that was 3 or 4 years ago. So he
was
just young. You know, interesting story, though. You know, just...
It says a lot about his dad, too, right? Allowing him to get behind the wheel of one of those tells you how much trust he has in his son to go out and take that car. A, you would want him to be safe.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
B, You wouldn't want him to wreck a car.
No, exactly.
You know, and the high, there's a high probability that you get somebody with zero experience.
Yeah.
Put them into a super, they're going to stuff it.
Yeah.
And by the sounds of it, this kid's got lots of talent.
He does, for sure. And, you know, working with him last year, I spotted for him at the Canadian Short Track Nationals. We obviously didn't get the results that we wanted. We had a Outlaw Super Late model there, which is just a dynamite piece. If you see the 33, you know, Albert Francis car roll in and it's an Outlaw car, stand back because the kid's yeah. not fear. He doesn't have fear in his soul. The template car, you know, he bounced back and forth between the Outlaw car and the template car. And, man, within, you know, a solid 20 laps at Chukasa with the template car, he jumped right to the top of the board and stayed there. You know, he was
amazing.
He was P4, P3, P2. And then, you know, obviously, you know, kind of fell back through practice and then bounced right back up to the top when we did a sticker run. And the kid is just lightning fast. And, you know, they're a true blue racing family. When you look at his daddy, you mentioned Dale Francis there. They've got Francis Engineering. They've been building motors for...
Oh, they're engine builders?
Yeah. And the motors that they put out of that shop are... They go all around the world. They go, you know, Australia and, you know, all over.
All for racing tractor, motors?
Racing and tractor pulling.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of their
all performance.
High performance stuff. And just a really neat backstory, you know, that... you know, it's a name to put on your list of prospects because the kid can drive the wheels off a race car.
Well, hopefully we get the Canadian Short Track Nationals in the Maple Leaf 250 this year.
Yep.
Hopefully we get that in at Chukasa. That would be kind of cool. Next up for Cup, what do we got to look forward to? Is that Atlanta?
Yep. We've got the Bristol race tomorrow night for Xfinity. Monday night.
Yep.
Which will be a good race. Mario Gosselin's got some new sponsorship on the side of the 36 and the 92.
Gotta love it.
You know, it's coming down the pipe. The Quick Trip Folds of Honor 500 is going to take place next weekend.
Hey, I heard something today on the Fox broadcast. Josh Williams, is he the spotter for
different
Ryan?
Different guy.
It's a different Josh Williams?
Yeah.
I was going to say, how does that work? Man, he'd be a busy guy, old Josh.
Different guy.
Driver of the 92.
Two totally different guys.
Two totally different.
Yeah, but they are both Josh Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like there's two Jason Whites, right?
Yep, exactly, yep.
One was a trucker and the other one jumped into a truck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, that's funny, Josh Williams. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, but I heard them refer to, I want to say Mike Joy.
Dave Blaney's spotter.
Dave,
Ryan. Dave Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. Blaney.
Yeah.
He had a good day going.
He knocked the front end off, yeah.
Well, he didn't.
He didn't. The 13 did.
The 13 did. He cleared it right off.
Yeah, definitely. Tough deal.
What do you expect? What do you expect at Hotlanta?
I think... it's going to be a really interesting deal. That track is so bumpy. I wouldn't doubt that there's a yellow somewhere in there for a track repair at some point because
really?
It's falling apart that bad. There's a tremendous amount of cracks and you know, the track is severely bumpy. It's going to be a completely different race than what we've seen at Charlotte. And I think it'll be for the better. This package, you know, is momentum based. You know, it's high downforce, you know, it's high downforce in the center section of the car. And the platform itself is low horsepower. So, when you look at the racetrack at Atlanta, it's so bumpy. You have to drive through the bumps, around the bumps, or over the bumps, one
right.
or the other.
Yep.
You know, it creates issues where you're going to get sideways, you're going to get out of the groove, and it's going to create passing opportunities like you don't see at Charlotte.
Remember a couple of years ago, they said they were going to repave Atlanta,
Yeah.
And all the cup guys went crazy saying, yeah, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Leave it. Leave it. We'll pay you to leave it the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So they did. They left it the same.
Now, they're going to need to do something. The track is getting to the point now where it is starting to...
No, if I was the owner, I'd say, no, yeah, suffer, you guys, boys. Yeah, you wanted it. You got it.
Yeah, absolutely. But once you start seeing, you know, patches come up off the racetrack...
Turtling, you know, on an asphalt track isn't good.
No, it's definitely not a good thing. But that being said, hopefully it all stays together and it all works out. But I think it will. They've obviously done a lot of work. It's just I wouldn't doubt that there's a patch needed here or there over the course of the weekend.
Yeah.
But just a neat track overall. Atlanta is so, everybody says mile and a half racing, you know, it doesn't matter where it is, they're all cookie cutters. Well, that track is one of the only mile and a halfs that are different than all of them.
Yeah,
you know,
it's full of character.
It's full of character. It is, it races just completely different. And since they did the reconfiguration where they changed the back stretch to the front stretch, that really changed the game at Atlanta and it races so much different than everywhere else. But I'm looking forward to seeing, the package that we've seen at Charlotte was good. I just think it's going to be even better when we get to Charlotte.
Who's going to win? Who's going to win Atlanta?
I think
Clint Boyer's coming off a second place finish.
I think you gotta stick in the Ford camp right now. They've got so much speed.
Jimmy Johnson also good. Third,
yeah,
third today.
And he's good at Atlanta. Harvick or Keselowski, if I'm allowed to take two. I wouldn't doubt that Keselowski is going to go for a third. They're just banging on all cylinders right now. When you look at Keselowski in that two car, they're knocking it out of the park. The 48's having trouble executing. That's what's happening. And, you never thought you would say that about Jimmy Johnson, but they're just having troubles executing. And whether it be an issue on the racetrack, obviously today at Bristol, you've seen him get into it with Ricky Stenhouse. The 42 got jacked up, and all of a sudden the 47 went into the fence. Well,
48 had no choice.
48 had no opportunity to get out of it.
No.
And it was a racing deal. But those are the types of things that bite you. And those are the types of situations that Jimmy Johnson never put himself into in the past. So, interesting. I just think that the Hendrick cars have got tremendous speed. Obviously, Chase Elliott has been a rocket ship.
Mm.
I think that William Byron is right there, chomping at the bit. And obviously, the 88 has been good. But I would have to go with Keselowski or Harvick.
Yeah. When I look through the list, too, I also got to mention the Gander Truck Series, June the 6th. It's going to be at Atlanta. Can't wait for that. The trucks on Atlanta, always an awesome show.
Yep, definitely.
That's going to be one to look forward to. The Cup race, Xfinity tomorrow. Just look, there's stuff to look forward to.
It's funny that I said that earlier in the show that Brad Keselowski went 2-for-2. He didn't go 2-for-2. He's got two wins now since quarantine.
He's got two
wins. I should clarify that because it was obviously Chase Elliott that went to victory lane in Charlotte. But he got the 600 win and then got the win at Bristol too. So I just think that Brad Keselowski's got the speed right now. They're looking really sporty.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I can tell you that. That's going to do it for us here tonight on Racetime Radio. As I mentioned off the top of the show, we're going to go into a little bit of a hiatus. When things start to break or we get big news that we can fill 2 hours, we're going to be back on. So keep your eye on racetimeradio.com. Keep your eye on our Facebook page, Racetime Radio. And we'll definitely have announcements on there when we're going to get back on the air here and continue the conversation. But we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back at you full tilt when we've got lots more content. I got to thank all of our guests here tonight. We had a dynamite show lineup, and we surely appreciate it. Want to thank Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio. Want to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Racetime Radio. But that does it for Junior and I tonight, and we will see you again in the future on Racetime Radio. Keep in touch, and so will we, and we will be back with you. Be safe, everybody, and let's get rid of this virus.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.